Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Thank you for joining us again this week on On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and with me, my co-host, Dr. James Moore, and we'd like to welcome everybody back. Thank you so much for joining us. This is our 51st episode. We're about to blow it up. How you doing today, Jay?
I'm doing well, sir. How about you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. We are honored to have three very distinguished guests with us today. Would you like to introduce them?
I can do that. Okay. First off, we have Mr. Noah Carmichael. Noah Carmichael, would you take a couple of moments and tell us a little bit about yourself? And then we have a couple more gentlemen that will follow.
Sure. Noah Carmichael. I live out here in Phoenix, Arizona, originally from the Carolinas. Run a small business gurus consulting firm here in town. Happy to be on the call today with you guys.
Glad to have you.
Excellent. Thank you and welcome. Mr. Maxwell Tolliver, would you take a couple moments, good morning, and would you take a couple moments and let the audience know a little bit about you, sir?
Sure, no problem. Thank you for having me on the call. My name is Maxwell Tolliver. I'm an author, speaker, trainer, and unstoppable entrepreneur. Hailing from New York City, now currently in Phoenix, Arizona.
Excellent. Thank you and welcome. Yes. Mr. Desmond Peartree, good morning. And would you be so kind as to enlighten us a little bit about your background, sir?
Buenos dias, gentlemen and audience. Thank you for having me.
Excellent.
I proudly say I'm the bouncing baby boy of Lorraine and Desmond and Wesley Peartree out of New York City. The thing I do here, it's kind of odd when people say, who are you? Because I've learned in life that I'm not that title that corporate gave me, even though I enjoyed it very much. But if you buy black, you will know me. If you think that capital is one of the means of getting out of our social means, social errors in America, you're on the right track. And again, you will know me. But I published a black book here, along with a few other publishers throughout the U.S., and that's my goal, my mission.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. And welcome.
Yes. This week, and our first segment is called Here and Now. And our topic is entitled, Oh, Father, Where Art Thou? Missing.
Mm-hmm.
And this week we take a look at the diminishing role of the community head, the village chief, the honor guard of our home and our family name, the patriarch, the father. We'll discuss how this tragic situation has come to be, and we'll try to explore why and how we can and should change the deteriorating image of this iconic role. I mean, we'll also look to ask the question why the role has been abandoned as where we as men today view the role and where we are, or if it has the same appeal or the same importance it once did. We really want to have everyone join in on this discussion, because the worst thing about being a man is not having a voice. It's my opinion, and that's how I feel about it. Each of us have our feelings in regards to how today is. And so I'm going to pose the question after I make this slight statement. I believe that the role of the father has been broken down considerably. I believe that the father's role has kind of lost its appeal. Right now it's just a title, and I believe that some people have forgot what it's about. And we have young men in the street that they don't have any respect for the role of a father. They're becoming daddies without knowing how to be a father. And there are men that are around them that feel it's not the responsibility of the television. I disagree. And, gentlemen, feel free. Tell me what you think, if anything to my statement holds any merit. What do you feel?
Well, Trey, before our gents – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Mr. Tolliver?
Yes, I'm here. I didn't know you were asking me directly.
Yeah. Let's have your opinion. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think that the role of a man has definitely been watered down to the point of almost disappearing. When you have young men in their 20s challenging older men in their 40s and 50s to their face about their authority and their, you know, and lack of respect for them in public, we've definitely come fallen a long way from where we used to be. I find that it's disturbing to a point where you have the young men who challenge the older men and not realizing that the older men is trying to teach them something, not trying to take anything away from them. And it's just a disturbing situation to see that continually and constantly on social media, experiencing it in the day-to-day activities as you go about your day. It's just not a good place for us as a people to be in. And I think that that's one of the reasons why there are those of us around who have to step up and have to speak out and continue to shout out and let everybody know that we're all way off on track. We're not on track at all.
I agree.
I agree with that. And, Trey, I got to chime in here because I want to say I think that it's a societal issue as well, because there's a lot of things in society, whether it's on TV or radio, not our show, of course, but on radio and the internet, where you see the dads being emasculated. And I find that a little bit disturbing, where you have shows where folks, the kids, the moms, everyone talks to the dad like he is of no value. And then this show then edifies that perspective and makes it okay to treat that person in that role that way. I think that's one of the other causes that we have to look at.
What do you attribute that to, gentlemen? What do you attribute that to? Noah, what do you attribute it to? Why do you think that is?
It sells. It's on TV right now. And I think a lot of, to the point that was just made about how that's viewed, the way social media is, the way we look at things as a culture, we get a lot of what we're looking at now from TV. And that's sad to say. So a lot of the...
I agree.
A lot of the images, a lot of the things that are there on TV, that's what a lot of these guys think a man looks like or how a man acts. And not realizing that's not reality. A lot of this, the so-called reality shows and how all this stuff looks, that's not reality. That is just a character, something that's put out there to sell, and they're trying to take these things into their personal lives, and you see the interaction with other grown men, and the interaction is terrible. I think you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, Trey. The interaction is not there. They don't know how to communicate. Look a man in the eye, tell him what's on his mind. You know, we don't know how to do that anymore.
I think too, when you ask the question, why do you think it's that way? You know, the silence amongst us was deafening for those 2 seconds. And when you ask a question like that, you're asking, do we understand the problem? And many of us do not. Ergo, we don't do anything. It's like asking a child, you know, why did you do that? I don't know. You know, that's us, grown men. You know, what do you think caused that? The media is definitely responsible because, you know, that's what signals a lot of the guide arms that we use and things, style, fashion, you go on and on. But if you look at some of the things that you, what would you call, milestones that have been created or that have come upon us that created this situation, how many of us, there's 4 or 5 of us on the phone right now, how many of us raised your hand or raised by a single mom, you know? And how, today they're talking about you know, how females are more masculine, particularly black females, are more masculine than the grace of women that used to be.
And their demeanor.
You know, so here you have women raising men, trying to raise men, and signifying that, you know, a man will come in and out of their lives, hopefully not as often as we would believe. But when they see that, you know, so let's try to understand the situation. Because if you understand it, then you can give some reason to the solution. But, you know, there are things that we need to look back on, and we're talking post-civil rights, because these are today problems. These are not things that we need to look as far back and say, okay, you know, 500 years of slavery. We've got to deal with more of the today issue, because technology changes every quarter, and so will the views of our children.
Can I get in there with you? Because here's something. Today's view has changed so drastically, so dramatically, that the media is pressuring people to accept things, in my opinion, that aren't necessarily always accepted. As a man, there are things I just won't accept. I just will not accept. It doesn't mean that I knock it. It's not for me, so I can't accept it. And today, we're living in an age where
that is the today view. You are absolutely right.
I hate to bring it up, but here it is.
Yes,
the ESPY.
We're more informed now than ever. There's no reason to be.
And I agree.
There's no reason to be the Jim Crow and such of the past. We know better now.
Exactly. And then, like, at the ESPY, they recognized a man who cosmetically changed himself into a female and got a show, and when his children are around, all 10 of his children, they still call this man who cosmetically changed himself into a woman, they call him dad. Now, enter a 2-year-old boy. What the funkadoodle is he supposed to think? How in the hell is he supposed to grasp that? And the media says, isn't she beautiful, your father? Oh, my God. That's a part of deterioration. That breaks down the structure of what a man is supposed to be. Because it's now made acceptable.
That's an interesting point.
It's an A thing.
But I think we're toggling on the side of two different issues. I think we have to have an acceptable archetype of what a man is. I agree. There's a certain right. I get you. I'm not disagreeing with your point. I'm saying I think there's a line that we're looking at what the archetype of a normal male is versus teaching our kids acceptance. And I think that becomes a very delicate thing. Not that I disagree with you. We need to have stable, sure, salient, cogent presentations of what a male figure is. That being said, we also have to understand that times are changing. We have to get our kids to understand it. You know, sometimes people are just different, and that's just what it is. Trey, we have another caller joining us, and I'm going to bring them on.
Sure.
Good morning. You're on with On Point. Who do we have?
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Danielle. Good morning. I'm listening to the comments being expressed, and someone said this is post-civil rights. I believe it's pre-civil rights. I believe that it goes all the way back to slavery, the breakdown of the black family, the separation of the mother and the father. Sell daddy over here, plantation. Sell the mama and the kids over here to this plantation. And I believe that it's been a trickle-down effect ever since. It's been a breakdown and a deterioration ever since. Now bring it
so
to current time. Add the media
go
to
ahead,
it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Add the media to it. Add TV reality shows to it. Add the violence to it. And we have what we have today.
Danielle, let me ask you this.
I think there's another part that we think we're missing.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't hear you.
Go ahead, and then I have a secondary question for Danielle once you're done, sir. Go ahead.
I don't know who that was, but I definitely, Danielle.
Oh, are you? I'm sorry, that was me. I didn't know you were talking to me. I think that there's another part that we're missing.
Go ahead with your question.
This is Desmond, Danielle. And you're absolutely right that there's a true historical understanding as to how we got here. My point being, I'm not negating that all of that happened. You cannot negate that. The question is, do you still fall victim to it? Now that we have more information and more understanding, and we actually try to bring this education into our schools, do we still stand by and say we're a victim? Are you, you know, saying that you are a victim of it, or are you saying you're a proponent of the change? And at the time you become a proponent of the change, you take that step forward.
Of course, but you have to understand that young folks, they're more influenced by the outside than the inside, period, point blank. And when there is no role models for them to look at, they're going to go by what they are looking at. Now, I came from a mother and a father, okay? My parents were together. My parents actually were older by the time they had me. My dad was older. He was 38. My mom was 26, but my mom was his third wife, okay? I was his fifth child, third marriage. So, you know, by the time I came around, from a father that was born in 1932, who had a mother and a father at home, and mom stayed at home and took care of home, and dad worked. And of course, he came up in the days of it took a village to raise a child, and the whole doggone village whooped your butt, you know, bring it to today. These kids, they come from single-parent households. Mom can't be everywhere at all times and do all things. And, you know, she has to be the breadwinner and the disciplinarian. And, of course, a boy is going to buck a woman. My own son bucked me, and that's only because me and his dad was divorced. But best believe, when he bucked me, I called Daddy, and Daddy came and tore that butt up, you know. But
And it, I think you're addressing
have
a
nothing
point
to look
that,
at.
That, go ahead.
They have nothing to look
and
at with all this negativity.
That's a valid point. The point that I think that he was bringing up was the fact that we can no longer be victims of the circumstance. We understand that there's been a systemic an actual planned systemic deterioration or destruction of that fatherhood figure since the whole system began. But now we are where we are, and the point is, from this point forward, do we accept that and curl up and die, or do we stand up and present a more pointed perspective on how to fix it and go forward?
Well, how do you fix it and go forward?
We
don't watch the
media.
We don't control the TV.
Hold it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who is that speaking?
Maxwell Powell.
Daniel, thank you. Okay, thank you so very much. Let me let one of the fellows speak, please, if you'd be so kind. What were you saying, Maxwell?
There's another part that we have to look at. You know, there's two points of view that we constantly ignore, and I don't know that we're ready to even address it, but there's the Afrocentric way of looking at things, and then there's the Eurocentric way of looking at things. In America, in our society, everything is geared towards the Eurocentric way of looking at things. So we have shows that teach us that it's okay to address a man a certain way. It's okay for a young man to address an older man a certain way. These shows are geared towards people who think one particular way. It's not geared towards our culture and the way that we all understand life to be. So when we look at changing things, we have to understand that we are bucking the Eurocentric system that teaches us a certain particular direction. And for us to change this direction means that we all have to be in one accord and one agreement and move at the same time in the same way. You know, and when I, you know, it brings me back to a time when I was walking my daughter home from school, and she walked in front of me crossing the street, and cars were coming, and I grabbed her and pulled her back. And I said to her, and this is what I think we need to say to all of our young men, our older men, our women, young women, everybody. We all need to say this at the same time. When I go, you go. When I move right, you move right. When I move left, you move left. We move together. We are one. Mm-hmm. If I don't go, you don't go. I'm older than you. I see ahead of you. I'm taller than you. I can see past the cars. I can see past the people. I've been there. I've done that. If I don't go, you don't go. We go together. We move as one. And my daughter never forgot that. She brought it back up to me. This was like 4 years ago. She brought it back up to me the other day. And she said, no, Dad, you told me wherever you go, I go. How you move, I move. And
just
it's
like
the thing that we need to bring about to our families, to our friends, to everybody that understands or teach them how to understand how we all think. We don't think the way the TV shows us. We don't act. We don't respond the way TV shows us. You know, what the celebrities do, they do because they want attention, they want money. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. We want you to have money, but we need to teach you how to do it in a way that's going to support you, your family, and your neighborhood. And we have gotten away from that.
I agree. I agree. Hold on for just a moment. We have another caller coming in with us. Thank you, caller, for joining us at On Point. Who are we speaking with today?
This is Richard Haywood.
How you doing, Mr. Haywood? I'm glad that you were able to join us. Would you like, did you have something that you'd like to expound upon as well in regards to the topic today?
I just chimed in. I'm getting in late. I'm trying to figure out where exactly we're at right now. So go ahead. I guess I can chime in a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that. We appreciate that. We were actually discussing the breakdown of the ideal or the image of today's father. There was Danielle, when she was on the line with us, and we thank you, Danielle, for tuning in as well. She was on the line with us. She said something that Nora and I were actually talking about. It takes a village to raise a child. Well, it appears that our village has changed. The scope of a village has changed. And to me, it matters a damn that mommy raises the kids. Okay, so we got a lot of men out here that their mothers raised. That doesn't take away from us being men. Our grandmothers, we have grandmothers who raised their kids on their own. She had 12 kids, 9 kids, 15, and these men still turned out right. The thing that's missing is that the fathers, in my opinion, today, they don't give a damn about the idea of respect, and they've lost their edge on how to be a father because they believe that their fatherhood only limits to the front door of their house. If you've seen two little boys, and I've made this example before, you saw two little boys when my dad was around, may he rest in peace, I love you, Otis Shalom. When my dad was around and he saw two little boys fighting, he'd walk over to him and say, what's wrong with you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Have you become daft? And he separated them. He made them shake hands. And he said, this is not what your mother or your father would want you to do. And he sent them about their way. Now, today, and forgive my vulgarity, you got a dude that walks up to him and he runs up to him real quick, grabs him by the shoulder, pulls him apart, and he says, hey, man, you let that little mug hit you in your chin like that? You need to drop your guards and hit the body. What? Are you about to give him a boxing lesson for two little boys you don't know in the middle of the street and you have the opportunity to tell them what this position is doing to them? The place that they're around, their surroundings. Fathers now have become nothing more to me, in my opinion, than a bunch of grown, large boys, extra older boys, 25-year-old boys, 30-year-old boys. You still wear, how can you teach me respect when you're wearing pants around the bottom of your behind with your pants and a belt?
Exactly. Exactly.
And there's not a man.
That comes back to
listen,
us as well.
I will. One of my fellas on the phone just now said, hey, you know what? I told the kid, hey, your pants, your ass is showing. Gentlemen, listen, any fellow in my earshot today, tomorrow, tell somebody, see a kid walking down the street with his pants falling out there, yo, your pants
Trey, you and I talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, and their first reaction.
The whole culture, they don't get it. They see it on TV. They think it's the cool thing to do.
I think too what he's saying in that when you call them out on something like that, they're human. They are still children. Their first intrinsic reaction when you call them out, you say something like, "Hey, I see your butt," you know, "Oh, hey." Their first reaction is to reach back and grab their pants because they know it's wrong. And
they know they're wrong.
What I think we need to act on, the gesture that we're looking for, is to call them out, is to man up and call them out. Because 9 out of 10 of us are not saying anything.
And not be scared.
Don't be scared.
And that's a valid point. And I think
I know some of the guys that I'm around, they're scared
of the fact that.
Right.
And it's because some of these kids get out of sorts when you speak to them or they want to actually rear up against you. And I think a lot of men nowadays don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to a teenager and say, "Hey, look, young man, pull your pants up and look professional," because you're setting a standard for everybody else when you don't do it.
And I think some guys don't realize you really don't need to do anything other than look at some of these guys because they're just going to bark. Most of them are going to bark anyway.
Here's the thing. Here's the other thing. Now, and this isn't a color thing. This is Hispanic, Latino, African-American, Caucasian. The word nigger. Do you know that there are little boys now, 6 years old, at the dollar store, at Walmart, that will tell you, "Nigger, you ain't my daddy." And I was like, "Wait, but you're Caucasian. You got blonde hair and blue eyes." This is becoming acceptable. And no man steps up and goes, "Hey, excuse me, my name is not nigger." And you know the first thing that they do? The first thing they do is this: "Little nigger, let me tell you something. No, gentlemen, it's called testicular fortitude. Grow a pair. The size of everlasting gobstoppers, goddamn. Tell that child. Put him in his place. Check him. Check every little boy so they realize that this is where respect comes from. We were taught to be young, but you had to respect your elders."
It is not a winning proposition. It's not something that you take on to win, because what you say to them today may not resonate at that moment. And understand that you're setting a foundation for something. You're not trying to win that moment. You're trying to make sure the message is across.
Yes. I believe in sowing seeds. If we're sowing seeds on a daily basis, whether they be good seed or bad seed. And like you just said, if we don't sow that seed into them, it's some young man that's going along the way, can we expect someone else to do it? Who's going to be the one to say, "Hey, you know what, I'm going to say something about this"?
Mm-hmm.
We should all be responsible enough in some type of way to, maybe not every time, but, man, you got to say something sometime or another. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Absolutely.
Every father, every man is responsible for his neighbor's child. You know, I'm not saying you have to go out and start stomping a mud hole in every other kid. I am saying this. You're responsible for your neighbor's child, as is your neighbor for your child, too. Gentlemen, we have to wrap this up. We must revisit this. I appreciate the fact that you were able to join us today. And I would like to say thank you so much to Mr. Tolliver, Mr. Carmichael, and especially that young man right there, Mr. Pear-Tree. Mr. Haywood, thank you so very much. We thank you for our guest that called in. Well, raise your glasses, bottoms to the top. Remember, every thought is great, every idea is warranted, and for every step you take and for every endeavor you make, may they always be on point.
On point.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.